Hey, it's Glenn here. There's a lot going on at the moment, and we're going to do the best that we can to bring you everything you need to know. But there's a lot of you that are still on the same income and still working, albeit from home. So we're going to keep our schedule up. And then on Thursdays, we'll put more bonus content around what's going on right now with the lockdowns and the crisis. But of course, you can jump over to My Millennial Money Express, and there's some other short, sharp, to the point little podcasts there. Hope you enjoy this one. Bye. Hello, Australia. Welcome to My Millennial Money. I'm Glenn James, and you're with
John Pigeon.
And John.
Yeah.
I was just in the States not long ago.
You were. And I quite missed you.
You quite missed me. Well, I didn't miss you. It was kind of good to have a break from each other, wasn't it?
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was well deserved.
Well deserved. Well deserved. Now, before we get into today's episode, Sun Super, our show partner, I just want to thank them so much for getting behind the podcast. Mm. And if you are looking at reviewing your superannuation or consolidating your superannuation, we just ask that you throw them in the mix just to see how they stack up.
Yep.
They've been awarded Super Ratings 2020 Fund of the Year for having the best value end-to-end product for its members. So that's pretty good, isn't it?
Can't ask.
There are hundreds of super funds in Australia. And since 2015, they've also held Canstar's highest 5-star outstanding value rating for superannuation. So they've received awards from Finder and Money.
Yep.
So
start there and work your way down.
Yeah. So thank you, Sun Super, for getting behind the podcast. And seriously, if you are looking at reviewing your super, throw Sun Super in the mix. So today's episode, John, I'll let Asher introduce it, but I was in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
And you know how I... Oh, it was good. And it was actually funny. I was only there like less than a week before the tornadoes went through.
Oh, right.
Oh, man. That would have been wild.
Yeah. They experienced their own tornado from Australia, did they?
Giddy up. You know it. Your boy, Glenn.
What did you get up to there?
Oh, not much. So, I was just chilling. So, I planned to go to Nashville because I was over in Ohio, and it's only like a 6-hour drive south.
Yep.
And I was just work. I really like Nashville as a city.
Yeah.
It's cool vibe, great location, good coffee scene.
Is it?
So I just basically retreated there to do a bit of work.
Yeah. How big is Nashville?
Huge.
Is it?
I don't know. Pretty big.
Yeah.
So, and while I was there, just before I went to the States, I interviewed Dave Ramsey from the Dave Ramsey Show. Did you listen to that episode?
No.
You should. I want you to listen to it.
No, I was impressed that you were able to nail him down.
Yeah.
He's a big dog.
That was crazy. So, I mentioned to him that I'd be in Nashville like in a couple of weeks, and he says, all right, drop in. So, he connected me with somebody there.
Yeah.
And I managed to do some episodes with Rachel Cruz and Chris Hogan.
Right.
So we're going to hear from Rachel today. So let's have a listen,
let's
shall
do
we?
Let's do it.
Glenn speaks with New York Times bestselling author Rachel Cruz from The Rachel Cruz Show. They talk about comparisons, being content, getting in control of your money, and how couples can win with money.
Well, Rachel, thank you for joining us on My Millennial Money, and on behalf of all of our listeners,
thank
you for your time.
Yes, thanks for having me. This is so fun.
It's so fun. Now, your book, Love Your Life, Not Theirs, you're a New York Times bestselling author. How did the book come about? Like, what inspired it from idea to like, was it through practical experience?
Yes.
Seeing other people?
Oh. All the above.
Yeah.
All the above. You know, when I was thinking about the next book to write, I thought, okay, you know, what's a problem I can help solve? And so I immediately always go to my life and say, okay, what are problems I'm having in regards to money and life? And I realized at the time, which this was 6 years ago, you know, social media then, I feel like it's been exposed more and more today that we all know the reality is that, oh, that's not everyone's real life. I feel like that's more of a common language. But back then, even 6 years ago, it wasn't. I mean, social media was still this filtered, most beautiful thing. And I found myself struggling of, oh my goodness, it feels like everyone has their life together. everyone's marriage seems perfect. Everyone's job seems great and like on the rise. Like everything seems so wonderful. And here I am comparing every part of my life, honestly, something as shallow as an outfit to, you know, someone's passion and their career and what they're doing. I mean, all the gamut. And I just thought, man, this comparison stuff, it is so hard. So not only does it steal my contentment and my joy, but in turn, it's starting to steal my paycheck because I'm finding the reason I'm buying things and what I'm buying is being motivated by others and by comparison. So that's when I realized, wow, I'm having this problem. So I realized as a financial expert, if I'm struggling with this internally, maybe other people are.
Actually, Chris Hogan, before we are having our discussion, he said you're a spender like me.
So. Yes, I am. I am.
It's funny because like my strength in the money world isn't about how to hack the coupons and, you know, be frugal and all that because I'm not that guy. But I can tell you how I've hacked the spender, how I've given myself freedom, how I've been able to invest for the future. So I guess having said that, when you're helping thousands and thousands of Americans manage their money, what gives you the most joy?
Gosh, I think when people finally get in control of their money and their money's not controlling them and seeing that freedom. And I think it starts with just getting out of debt and not owing anyone anything. When you actually have money saved in the bank, all of those things, the whole plan we teach at the Baby Steps, you know, when people start walking that out and doing it on a tactical standpoint, it frees up so much. It frees up them emotionally. It frees them up spiritually. I mean, there's so many things that are tied up in our money. And when our money controls us, you can only live to a certain point. And so when you finally are free of all of that and you finally have options of what to do with your life, it's incredible to see what people then become.
So talk to the single mom who's listening to us now. Mm-hmm. You know, she's doing it tough. It could be a single dad. He's doing it tough.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about being financially free. That doesn't have to take 3 years. It can take a couple of weeks to get on a plan and just start to have a goal and start to dream a little bit.
100%. Yeah, the idea of just getting in control, maybe doing a budget for the first time, actually writing out a plan of how to pay off debt, even those simple steps like you're saying, that could take an afternoon. And suddenly it's you see, oh gosh, there's hope. Like there actually is a way out. It takes a lot of hard work and intentionality to actually follow through with the plan. Mm. And that may take up to 3 years, right, to get out of debt and all that. But actually starting it and saying, you know what, my life can be different. Because I think we get stuck in the cycle that we say, this is how my life is, and that's how it's always going to be.
Yeah.
And you kind of just, you know, end the sentence there. And I'm like, no, you, if you're not happy with where you're at, you have the ability to change. You can get up and say, I'm going to do something different. Now, do some people's circumstances or their stories have larger obstacles in the way? 100%. And we can't, and there's factors that we can't always control. But you can control what you do with your circumstances. And I think saying, okay, I'm going to not only just handle money the way God says, but I'm actually going to handle money with common sense approach and take control of it. That can bring freedom. And like you said, that can take just an afternoon just to do a simple budget.
Love it. What do you think your unique flavor or brand is that you bring to, I guess, the Ramsey Solutions brand and all the different personalities?
Yes. Well, I'm kind of like you, that I'm a spender and I'm actually a free spirit. And I think a lot of people just assume, you know, when you talk about personal finance on a daily basis, they're like, oh, do you like have mutual fund birthday parties? Like, are you just obsessed all the time with investments and you just love watching, you know, the stock market? You know, people just think that you're just intrigued by it all the time. And I'm like, yeah, some of it's interesting, but honestly, I enjoy, you know, buying, you know, a new car that we, you know, my husband and I, we just had our third kid, so we got a minivan.
Oh.
Yes, we did. Wow. Do y'all have minivans in Australia?
Yeah, it's like the soccer mom van.
It is, 100%. And I'm one of those now, proudly. I proudly wear the stamp. But I'm like, you know, I love, you know, being able to save up and I love buying that. Like, that's fun. Now, is stuff going to bring me ultimate joy? No, we know this. But man, it is just fun to reach a goal. But doing that, I think my unique flavor is that I am the spender. I enjoy all of that. I think
and
it's
that's
so
cool
fun.
Because like so many of us are spenders. And I think the biggest thing is like, because I'm not above anything. Like we're just human beings. I just facilitate a discussion with the My Millennial Money community. Like, sure, I lead the community. But like even flying down here, well, I was in Columbus on the weekend.
Okay.
And I booked my plane ticket and I did that because I didn't want to drive. It was going to be snowing. And then on Saturday, it was like a nice day. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to cancel my flight and get a hire car and drive down. 6-hour drive.
Yeah.
Awesome. But for me, it's like, one, because I'm a spender, it can mean that I'm erratic, which means it cost me a couple hundred dollars to cancel the flight and not fly. And then got to the rental car place at the airport and they wouldn't take debit card because I don't have a credit card. And I'm like, what the heck? And then I had to go to another hire car place, not in the airport, and they didn't have the smaller car. So it cost me an extra $200. So, I mean, I guess what I've done in my life is I've just had to learn to quarantine the blowouts to make sure that the Glenn James erratic spender,
yes,
it's not a $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 mistake.
Right.
It's a $500 mistake.
Sure, absolutely. And when you have $500, you can afford to make the mistake, right? You know, you're not going, you weren't in debt for the airline ticket. And
exactly.
Now, so now you're not owing $1,000 after this trip. No, it's just, hey, I decided to switch my plan. And that's when, you know, when you actually use real money, your money instead of the bank's money, you have the option. You say, is this what I want to do? Or maybe I'll just stick with the airline. You wanted to drive 6 hours, Glenn. That is so fascinating. Yeah. You enjoy a road trip?
Well, I wanted to listen to an audiobook. And yeah, I like driving and I'm like, I'll stop in Louisville. There's a cafe there that I want to try. And yeah, that's so dumb that I wasted that money, but I've got the money.
But you, yes.
Shut up. I'll do what I want.
That's right.
You don't have to do that with your money. And yeah, so I've had to learn in my life to just control the erratic nature.
Yes, that's so good. And for me, honestly, living on a budget, going back to that, I mean, for so long, I thought a budget was like constrictive, you're cheap, you know, all of that. But for me, it's freed me up to be able to do things. So I'm like, yeah, I mean, for like my husband and I, we're going to the beach with our kids in 2 months and we have a line item for our beach trip. And it's like, okay, what do we want to spend in there? Okay. And we looked at rental cars so we could get the super nice one. We could get a medium one and save some money there. So that way we can go out to, we can do, you know, I mean, for me, it's just, you get to spend it and you get to enjoy
it's
it. You're
freedom.
Not stressed out. Yes, it's permission to spend, but you're doing it within limits and boundaries, obviously. But man, it does. It gives you so much peace of mind knowing, hey, I can make a decision if I want because I actually have the money.
Yeah. So we've got a lot of people who listen who are obviously in a relationship and share money with their spouse or partner, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I can only speak on what I know and I can't be a subject matter expert on sharing money with a partner because I don't, right?
Yeah,
so in a practical sense, how do you and your husband share and operate your money structurally?
Yes. I think there's like the emotional level, right? That's kind of the umbrella of everything. And the way I teach couples and the way we do it is that you are so unified with your money that you are one in every aspect of your finances, from your debt, from the income, everything. Once it hits the bank account, it's our money. Chris Hogan, who you've had on the show, you know, he always says we need to be more French. We. And I was like, yes, like we, it's our money together. It's not his debt, her debt, my income, their income. No. It's all of ours together. And when you have that sense of unity, you can work together as a team more effectively. So we've done that where we've just said, hey, once, you know, once everything's there, like it's both of ours. And then working at your goals together. And so for some couples, maybe that's getting out of debt. For some couples, it's saving up for a house or a car or a vacation. You're looking at retirement. I mean, whatever that dream is, maybe you want to, you know, move houses for a better school district. Like whatever it is that you're dreaming together and you're working together towards those goals. And part of that, kind of going a level deeper tactically, I'm going back to the B word, but it's true, doing a budget together. So Winston and I, we do a budget every single month before the month begins. And we've been married 10 years. So we've been doing a budget together 9 years because the first year of our marriage, we really didn't consistently budget. Just, I was like, oh yeah, I was a free spirit. I didn't really, you know, I was like, we'll be fine. And he was the one that was actually like, hey, we probably need to sit down and actually do a budget. And I was like, I can't believe you're the one telling me this. Like, I feel like I should know this. And so we started doing that. And 9 years ago, I can tell you, once it becomes a habit in your life, it takes like 10 minutes. You have the conversation. It eliminates so many money problems, so many money fights, because you are agreeing on where your money's going. And what that means is you're agreeing on more than just money. Mm. You're agreeing on your goals. You're agreeing on your dreams. You're agreeing on your fears. So much communication, so many things come up in the realm of money. And so when you're on the same page, it is so, so key. So again, the emotional level being unified there, that it's our money, working together for the future, your dreams, and then tactically working together with where you are presently.
Yeah, so that's I wrote down notes there because it was so interesting, because a lot of time when I've coached couples with their money,
yep,
they go straight to the front line, practical, tactical budget. It's yes, like, we'll do this, do that. But yeah, you're saying, well, number one, the intent. I wrote the word down, intent. Mm. Like, we have to agree that we're doing this together.
Yes.
Because if we're not doing it together, there's going to be pain. So that could be like, you know, yes, the intent's there that we do it together, but practically, yeah, you've got an account there that you use for your shoe budget or mm-hmm. for your mountain bike budget or whatever that
right,
is.
Right, the so, line item of the budget, yep.
Because totally. That actually doesn't matter, does it? And a lot of people get confused and think that the practicalities matter.
Yeah, I think it's both. I think the practical side, because if someone goes off and spends an extra $500 on sure. a pair of shoes, the other one's like, I'm sorry, I thought we were getting out of debt, right? yeah. But that goes back to the top layer. It's yeah. your goal. You have to be on the same goal. Mm. And so it is. It's very, very hard to win with money if you're not working together and you're not in the same lane. When you're running in two different lanes, when you're married, it's virtually impossible. Because if you could imagine, one spouse is like, oh, I really want to get out of debt. And they're working hard and they're throwing their paycheck at debt and all of this. And the other one goes $3,000 in credit card debt. It just offsets. I mean, like, you can't do it. It's really, really difficult.
How does it work if someone has been married or partnered or whatever word that people use in this day and age, call me old fashioned, but whatever. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, sure, like, sure, sure, sure.
Totally. How does it work if one is just so different?
And, yes.
And it's funny, like, I've coached clients and one's gone to the bathroom and one's leant forward and said, oh, I've got a $20,000 credit card that he doesn't know about.
Yes.
And I'm like, and she's like, what do I do? I'm like, tell him. But then.
Let's not whisper about this anymore.
And then, this is so crazy. I had clients that were in their 60s.
Mm.
And openly, she would discuss with him that she had a $30,000 little account. And that was her money. Mm-hmm. For whatever, I don't, whatever, her
yep.
money.
Yep.
She came back to my office one day and said, I need to give my son some money. Do I get it from like retirement or my account? I said, oh, how much is in your account again? She said, oh, it's actually $150,000. But I don't tell him he only thinks it's 30. So both of those are the same problem.
100%.
So if someone's listening and their partner is not on the same page and likely not listening to a bloody money podcast.
Yeah, uh-huh, uh-huh. Like,
so we can talk. They're not listening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. How would you say they go back to camp and start a process?
Yes. Well, there's kind of two problems there. So the first one we're talking about is that's really financial infidelity is what we call it in our world, where someone has a secret account, a secret credit card, investments. I mean, something that they're not being truthful with their spouse. So that's one problem we can set over here. And that is a result of another greater problem underneath, right? I mean, there is obviously... there is some trust issues. There's no vulnerability. No, you know, there's some things missing within the marriage. The fact that you feel like you have to hide something. So that's like that's kind of a more of a marriage problem than a money problem. But it's resulted in a money problem. But again, marriage problem. But when you have two people in a marriage and they say, okay, we want to start working together, but one's like, oh heck no, and one's like, yes. Listen, that's okay because honestly, opposites attract. So one of you is going to be a saver,
and then they attack.
Yeah, that's right. No. It's so true, right? So one of you is a saver, one of you is a spender, one of you is going to love this money stuff and love the budget, one of you is not going to and going to be rolling your eyes. We did actually a Valentine's night in the evening with about 2,000-3,000 people, a big money conference. We called it Marriage and Money.
Cute.
And so we did this whole thing and yeah, about 2,500 people showed up and I thought, wow, Valentine's night and you guys are at a financial conference. But I always make the joke with couples events is I'm always like, hey, one of you was up at like, you know, midnight when the tickets came on sale, you're so excited. You booked the airline. I mean, you just couldn't wait. You've had a countdown on your phone about it. I mean, you are so pumped. How many of you use that? And, you know, usually it's like this, woo, they raise their hand. And then I'm like, and there's always the other one. And you're dreading tonight. Like, you cannot believe you're sitting here. Raise your hand. And it's 50%. It is. It always is. And so it's so funny to me because I'm like, okay, so number one, if that's you, you're pretty normal. We'll just say that, okay? But number two, it begins that goal conversation. What is the goal? What do we want our life to look like? Because when you're married, you get to dream together. You get to create a life you love together. So what do you want that to be? And I would say, you know, if it gets to the point that you've talked to them, you've maybe given them a book, you've sent them a podcast, maybe this one, you know, you've done what you can. And I love getting a third party involved. I do tell people, go listen to a podcast, go read a book, have them do that, because sometimes they won't listen to their nagging spouse. Mm-hmm. They can listen to someone else and be like, oh, the light bulb kind of went on. But you know, once it gets to all of that, then again, you kind of go back to that other issue that there's a marital difference here, and you really do want to find that common ground. But in my line of work, I don't know if you would agree with this, I usually find that most women are the ones that are like, okay, I'm ready to do this. Like I don't know if it's because I usually speak to more women, but there's a security part of money for women. They want to know that they are going to be okay, that there's something there, and they're more willing to make sacrifices and drive the ball down the line to get this security that they want to say, okay, we have money saved. And sometimes it's the guy that kind of seems to lag a little, but I don't know. Do you find that?
I think ish, probably more yes than no.
Yeah.
And I think I've resolved the reason why as well. Most, like the majority of our listeners are female. So yeah. Yeah. 75%. Okay. I think some males or most males, we've got it under control. I don't need to listen to a podcast. You know, yes, I've got this. And I think, no, we don't have this.
Yeah, right, right.
So
right.
I think like a lot of like women think, no, we can do this. I'm going to do it.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Where guys like, I've got this. I'm like, I won't look at the instructions on how to put a new chair together. I've got this.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
It'll take me triple the time.
Yes.
Because I never had this.
Yep.
So I think it's interesting. Actually, I'll bounce something off you. When I talk with couples and they've got, you know, they might not be on the same page financially, I always say, all right, both of you grab a bit of paper and then write your top three goals down, don't show each other, and then reveal them together. And then if there's one the same, well, that's our first goal.
Yes. It's great.
And then
because there's alignment there.
Yeah. And then we just do a trade-off. It's like, okay, now it's your turn or my turn. Yeah,
absolutely. And I would say it's important to, you know, even if you are married, you don't dismiss your individual dreams and goals, right? I mean, like you have your own passions, you have your own dreams, and I think that that's good. But having a combination of something that you're working together, like Winston, my husband, he's like a huge hunter. I mean, he could live in the woods in some like little one bedroom cabin in a duck blind or where. I mean, he could just be anywhere. Where I'm like, take me to New York City and get me an apartment
Amazon
there.
To live out there.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, I will live in New York in a heartbeat. Manhattan, yes. Yeah. And he's like, absolutely. So like, we are very different in that aspect, right? So there's things that like I enjoy that he doesn't, and that's okay. So still being an individual and your own passions and dreams, like you can still have those things, but finding a common one to work together. So my husband and I, we built a house over the last, I guess, about 10 months. We moved in November, and it was one of the most, we say it, we're like, the house is amazing and we love it, but the goal of doing it and working towards that and having to save and write those checks for the draw pay, I mean, all of it, that was almost as much fun and the challenge of it and working together to do it. So I'm like, man, find that common goal. What is that goal? And find a short-term goal that you can accomplish in 5 years or less that you're working towards, and then have like your long-term ones, your long-term dreams that are 5 years or more. But be working together and finding that commonality is big.
And I would just encourage you, if you are listening, like, you know, I say on this podcast, we do not discriminate against any goals and we champion any movement towards that goal. Maybe in your relationship, you need to have the mantra between you and your partner, we do not discriminate against any goals. It's more about how do we work them out and in what order.
Yep. I love that.
So Rachel, what would you say is your definition of financial freedom? And does it take 20 years to get there?
Yeah, my definition of financial freedom would be when you get to a point in your life, I said it earlier, but it is true, where you're in control and your money's not controlling you. Because at that point, you're able to, especially if you're out of debt and all of that, I mean, you're able to, dream. You're able to quit the job that you hate, that you drive in on Monday mornings and you dread, and go do your dream job. I mean, you just have so many options when money is not controlling you. And so that's it for me. And I think that it's a mindset shift. I mean, there's logistics that have to go into place for it to follow through. But man, just that belief aspect of knowing I can do this, you know, having hope that something can be different is freedom to me.
Yeah, love it. Love it. I want to read you a comment in the short time we've got left. Verity Foster in my Facebook group, My Millennial Money, she wrote, because I wrote, oh, I'm interviewing Rachel Cruz. Like, anyone got any comments? Yeah. She goes, I just finished her book last night and loved it. She really helped me cut down on my shopping habits and to be grateful what I already have, which is the theme of her book. She doesn't have any questions. She's just excited to hear the interview. So shout out Verity.
Oh, that's so fun.
So I guess, what do you think the biggest issue is at the supermarket that we all have?
Oh, goodness. Jeez. Food specifically? Is that what you're talking about?
Or it's overspending?
Yes. Yeah. Gosh, I think we just, it's hard to say no to ourselves. I mean, there's like an instant gratification that is so true and so real. And I think a lot of us can fall into the mindset, and it even happens to me, where you just think, oh, if I could just have that, you know, I'll be satisfied. I'll be good. I'll be happy. Just that one thing, you know. And you know yourself that that's not true, but you fall into this short-term temporary lie of, it's just this rush. It feels good. It's fun. Okay, I'm going to just do it. And you end up overspending. You let your emotions get the best of you versus having a plan and sticking to that. And so that's one of the hardest things with overspending. And part of that too is this level of contentment and truly learning contentment. And that's what I talk about in the book, Love Your Life, Not Theirs. That is a key piece, a foundational piece for you to win with money. It's very difficult to win with money when you're not content, because content people can give. Content people can live their life with an open hand, and they can save more. They can sacrifice their lifestyle to get out of debt. Content people can win so much faster than people who are discontent, thinking, oh, the next thing's just going to make me happy.
I've got this thing. It's like I tell people, and it's on my email system. It's like, I do not want you to be happy. I want you to be content.
Oh, yes. Because speaking the same language.
Happiness, like somebody can die in your family, which will take your happiness in the instant.
Yep.
But it doesn't take your contentment.
Yes.
I think once we've arrived at contentment and we work on that, the ebbs and flows of life will not affect us and our money as much as if we're striving to be this happiness, Instagram lifestyle, things good, I'm in debt, I'm keeping up appearances.
Yep.
It's just really wild.
So true.
And I always tell people there's three things that you got to take when you go shopping. The first one is a full stomach.
Yes, that's right.
The second one is a list.
Yes.
The third one, it's usually... I forgot. That's usually the third one. That's the joke. But usually I say, put your phone on bloody flight mode, get your calculator out.
Yes.
And when you put things into the basket, add it up. So when you get to the checkout, there are no surprises.
Yes.
And then within your shopping session, there might be trade-offs within your basket. Like, it's easy. When I was really struggling for cash like a million years ago, like everyone's been through this stage of, we're just starting out. We don't have much money. I used to do that flight mode calculator.
Mm.
When I went up to the counter, it was $72 and I knew it.
Yes. There's no surprises. I love that. Yep.
And if you step back and look at wealth planning, that's having a strategy. We've got an emergency fund, a full stomach, so we're not doing anything dumb. We've
right.
got a plan. We're
yes.
sticking to it.
Yes.
And we're executing it.
So true.
Oh, I get ranty.
I love it. I love it, Glenn.
And I'll finish on this. Amy Stewart, or Sturt, don't know how you pronounce your name, Amy, but shout out, thanks for listening. She asks, do you feel pressure to be good with your money given your profile and work with Ramsey Solutions? Is it okay to make mistakes?
No, I don't feel pressure, because honestly what we teach is common sense.
Yeah.
So for me, it's not like this crazy. I mean, I'm not going to go out and get a credit card because of what we teach. I mean, there's certain things that I'm principled on that I'm just not going to do. Because I believe them, not even because I work here. Like, if I didn't work here, I'd still be handling my money the exact same way. And is it okay to make mistakes? Yes. Oh, my goodness. I'm like, we're all human, right?
Totally.
I'm like,
no one is above this.
No. Oh, we make mistakes all the time. Winston, oh, man, he always kills me because I always order things off of, like, Apple or Apple ID. Or I always forget to, tell him or put it in the butt or anything. And we get, like, this, like, $50 app. You know, he's like, what is all this? You know, I'm like, oh, yeah. This whole thing about communicating with your spouse, yeah, I kind of forget to do that sometimes. So, like, stuff is going to come up. Life is going to happen. You're going to make mistakes. And grace is a huge part of this.
And just quarantine your mistakes. Cap your
yes,
mistakes.
Yes.
So a blowout isn't with zeros on the end
100%.
Of it.
Right. I'm not, yes. And if you're making the same mistake over and 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 over, yeah, I'd have someone in your life who loves you enough.
Your name's Glenn James.
But seriously, to have someone to be like, okay, we're not going to like enable the behavior, right? Like, we're going to actually like learn from the mistake and do something different. But there are so many people that are so stinking legalistic and they're draining because it's like, yeah.
That's the fire community, isn't it?
Is it? Yeah. Yeah, it could be, right? Oh, man.
Shout out to you five people listening. Love you, but chill out.
Chill out. Yeah, so it's this middle ground of, yeah, you don't want to enable bad behavior over and over and over and over and over. But you also don't want to be so stinking legalistic that you're like, chill. Everything's going to be okay. It's going to be
okay.
We're
all just living.
Yes.
What's the most luxurious thing you've recently purchased yourself?
Oh, do I count the minivan or do I?
No, we're leaving the minivan away.
Hey, Glenn, that minivan is unbelievable. It has a vacuum in it. Can I say that?
Really?
It has a vacuum. So when all my the Goldfish crackers get crumbled up. What's my minivan? A Honda Odyssey.
Oh, they're good. Honda quality.
I'm telling you. And it's a third of the price of an SUV here in America. So, wow. It was a great deal.
As Trump would say, Honda, good people, great people.
Great people. It's huge. It's great, a huge van. It's a huge van.
Melina and I, we get in it.
So, yeah, besides the van, most luxurious thing I've bought. I mean, the house was a
really—that's a big splurge,
really big goal for us.
Okay, so let's drill down.
Yes.
Within the house.
A great question.
Were you like, I want limestone benches?
Nope.
And no rug. Like, what?
You know what I wanted, and I did it. Heated floors in our master bathroom.
Oh, shut up.
you go right in. It's warmer than the air, and we leave it on all the time. I'm like, I'll pay for it.
The room.
Oh, it's so. It is fantastic. It is absolutely fantastic. That, and I'll go on the heat thing. We put heaters up top in our ceiling on our outdoor porch. So there's these heaters that are inside the ceiling, and we have like the switches that they just turn on.
Love it.
It's amazing.
Love it.
It's amazing. So heat everywhere for Rachel.
Love it. And that's it. It's trade-offs. Like, I've been saying for years on this podcast, it's like, I need a rug for my lounge room. Everyone tells me, you need a rug to set the room off. I can't bring myself to spending a freaking $1,000 on a rug.
Sure,
like,
totally.
I don't care.
Yes.
I mean,
And there was things that we were like, oh, yeah, we'll cut here in order to do other things, right? It's the trade-off.
Totally.
But it's about what you value and what you
want. I've got a gift for you.
What is that?
Oh, it's a My Millennial Money bag.
Yes.
So.
You know I love totes. This thing will be used.
It's good for the shops.
So perfect. That's right. Thank you.
Well, Rachel Cruz, where can we find you online?
Thank you, Glenn. RachelCruz.com, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook,
all the stuff.
All of it, Rachel Cruz.
And her book, Love Your Life, Not Theirs. Get it. Amazon today, whatever. Read it. Get encouraged. And thank you so much for spending the afternoon with us on My Millennial Money.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
All right. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Shell.
And I'm Em.
We have a podcast called My Millennial Career.
So if you're looking for some tips about work, you've got some questions on how to deal with your boss, or maybe some inspiration on a career change,
you can head on over and subscribe to My Millennial Career wherever you're listening to this podcast.
You asked for it. Here I am. I'm going to say it. You don't want me to say it, do you? But I'm going to say it. No, I don't care. You said you wanted it, so I'm going to do it. Oh, so you don't want it anymore. Well, that's too bad. I'm doing it. It's time for the Community Member of the Week.
All right. So there you go. So that was pretty cool, catching up with Rachel Cruz. She's a lot of fun. She's like me. She's a spender. And we just got on.
You
we get each
it.
Other.
Yeah.
We just got it.
Cool.
So no Community Member of the Week this week.
No unqualified.
No. We just put this together like real fast. So
yeah.
We said, skip the Community Member of the Week. But everyone's a Community Member of the Week this week.
We love yous all.
So Taylor's got a question from the Facebook group. And I thought there's no better question for John to answer than this one.
Perfect.
Taylor asks, how do I save without feeling like I can't do anything?
You've never had that feeling?
No. Oh, I have sometimes.
Yeah.
So how does she save money without feeling like she can't do anything?
Yeah, well, feeling's a bit of a choice, isn't it?
Yeah, the feelings don't discriminate either.
No, they don't. I'd like to think that if it's really getting her down and keeping her awake at night, then number one, is she saving or is she just struggling to save anything at all?
Like, is her money going around and around and around?
Yeah. So is she frustrated by that, or is she just saving and no play.
Mm.
If it's the latter, then allocate yourself a little bit more to have a bit of fun. Because it's a combination of enjoying now versus later, right? Because it's paying your future self or paying yourself now.
Yeah. I think as well, I think it's twofold. One, she's an extreme saver and it's getting to the point where it's almost like, I've just got to save. I can't do it because it's an irrational thing.
Mm.
Or number two, she hasn't got a good, I guess, money system in place that is giving her permission to spend as well.
Yeah.
Or there's probably a third one as well. Maybe somebody has said to her, you need to be saving at least $400 a fortnight.
Yeah.
And if someone else throws their financial goals over you, that's rubbish because it's theirs, it's not yours.
Yeah. So block out the noise, number one.
Yep. And then I think she realistically might not have a decent goal because if she's aiming to save for something like, oh, I just want to save money.
Yeah.
She can't do other stuff because she's got to save. But it's like, well, I'm saving because I want to buy a home to live in.
Yeah.
In 2 years, I'm consciously sacrificing, quote unquote, can't do anything. And I think that's probably a big brush statement, big broad brushstroke statement that she said.
Yeah.
But
yeah, and she might already, like, who you associate with is really important with someone like that, isn't it?
Mm.
Like, if you've got 3-4 friends around you that just spend, there could be a bit of envy going on as well. Like, she's got to stay on her own tram tracks to what she wants to achieve. And if she does want that house deposit in 2 years and the others don't desire anything like that and just want to spend, then she can't compare herself to that group. And I'm not saying she is, but she might be.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. And it's different, like, when I stopped in New Zealand on the way back from the States, my friends ended up flying over after the public shaming on the Sydney podcast event that I did.
Yeah.
And we went to a restaurant one night for dinner. I chose it, right?
Yep.
We sat down and it was just out of their price range.
Right.
What they would ordinarily spend, right?
Did they know that before they walked in?
No. And I said, look, don't worry, guys.
I've got this.
I'll sort it out. Like, because for me, going out for dinner, I'm happy to spend $50 to $60, $70 on a main dish.
Yeah.
Because I'm going out, it's an experience or whatever. But if someone is in a different financial circumstance,
that's right.
That's huge.
Yep.
And if I say this to say, if Taylor is hanging around someone like me, she's trying to keep up and she can't do anything because she just says no to it.
Nah. And it's a big part of society, isn't it? Like, even just a week ago, there's this app called Strava.
Oh, the cycling one.
Yeah, which records all activities and automatically uploads from Garmin. And you get people give you kudos if you've completed a session and everything else. Well, regardless of the intensity or the duration of the session or how good it was, people just give you kudos because it's like a like on Facebook, I suppose. I just took myself off it a week ago. I was like, I've had enough of the noise.
Yeah.
I just need to focus on what I'm doing. I don't need anyone to give me kudos or know what I'm doing. Conversely, I'm distracted by what else is going on as well because I could compare myself to someone else who's done something. I think maybe I should be doing the same.
I think as well, like, if I was sitting here with Taylor, the more I think about this, the more, if she was sitting here, I'd probably actually just ask her a few hard questions and she'd fall over.
Yeah. Oh, and that's the thing with these.
And, like, we'd love.
Great questions. It'd be great to have them here.
And we're just assuming, I'm just imagining. She's like, I can't do anything. I'm like, okay, well, name 3 things you can't do.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I can't go to breakfast out with friends 5 days a week.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, go once.
Yeah.
So, I think, you know, I'm being dramatic, but if it's a legitimate thing where it's like, I do have some savings goals and I feel like I can't do anything.
Yeah.
You've got to sacrifice to win. You've got to pick your battles.
Mm.
So, if it's like, I can't do lunch and dinner on Saturday and Sunday,
I'm just going to choose brunch on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah. Have a picnic.
Have a picnic. Yeah.
But yeah, like, it's hard with these questions. We just try and give us as much information as you can so we can give more of an accurate response, I suppose. Yeah,
but it's also fun to make up scenarios in my mind.
Yeah, that's right.
So thank you, Taylor, for being part of the community.
Good on you, Taylor.
And we appreciate you sending in a question. That's all we've got today. I'll see you soon, John.
Right, later.
If you're after personal financial advice, this podcast is not for you. But if you do want a financial advisor or mortgage broker to talk with about your own personal situation, head over to sortyourmoneyout.com, click Get Help, and we'll put you in touch with one of our trusted professionals. If you're looking for a super fund that puts its members' interests above all else, choose a super performer, Sun Super. With low fees, strong investment returns, and great member services, SunSuper is Super Ratings 2020 Fund of the Year and has also been awarded by Money Magazine, Canstar, and Finder. Find out more about SunSuper at sunsuper.com.au/choose. You can join SunSuper online in under 5 minutes. Many people do not realise that slavery still exists in the world today. That's why My Millennial Money supports A21. We want to highlight A21 as they work to abolish slavery and human trafficking all across the world. If you want to support A21, visit a21.org.au for more information. If you're listening to this podcast, there's a high chance you have disposable income. Glenn has a mandate to get everyone giving, saving, and spending in that order. Now, we want to encourage you to be generous with your money, but choosing an effective charity can be difficult. An amazing resource you can use is thelifeyoucansave.org.au. You can donate to them and they'll distribute your donation to a variety of life-saving and life-changing charities around the world with a focus on eliminating extreme poverty. For more information, visit thelifeyoucansave.org.au. Thanks to Jess Knaus, executive producer, Laura from La La Social Club, and me, Asher. Anyway, make sure you stay connected via Instagram, our free Facebook group. For further information about what's going on, check out the links in the show notes.